anger.
Right? Anger. You know, when I think of the word anger, I think of a certain cartoon character from my childhood past. I think of Yosemite Sam. I mean, this guy personified anger, didn't he? I mean, everything about this guy was angry. The tone of his voice was angry. The way he treated others, other cartoon characters, was angry. Everything this guy did, he was just filled with anger. And you know, sometimes we're just like he is, aren't we? Sometimes we're just angry. And it shows. It shows in everything we do. It shows in the tone of voice we use. It shows in how we treat other people. And sometimes when we get angry, it turns out to be kind of funny. You know, have you ever done that? Have you ever done something in your anger that you look back on and you get a chance to laugh at and you think, man, that was stupid. That was just stupid. I was angry and I did something stupid. And you can laugh about it. I remember just recently our landlord replaced our kitchen, not the whole kitchen sink, but just the kitchen faucet. And it was leaking, so we got a new one. And with the new one came one of those new spray nozzles, you know the kind? You pull it out and it retracts back in, and you push the button and it's supposed to spray water. Well, this spray nozzle, brand new. It works intermittently. And that's frustrating, isn't it? When it's just working fine one minute and the next minute, nothing. And so at times when that would happen, I'd turn it on and it would be working and stop work. So I'd turn the pressure up, right? That's a man way of doing it, right? More power. That's got to make it work. More pressure, more power. And that doesn't work. And then what I'd try to do is I'd try to sneak it in, all right? I'd turn the water off. I'd push the button down. Then I'd turn the water on thinking, and it wouldn't work. And I took the thing apart. I turned the water off, of course. And I took the thing apart. Because I learned you have to do that when you're working with these things. They do work when they come apart. Shot my wife across the living room last night, showing her how well it works that way. Now that was funny. But I took it apart and I'd look in. All the parts were working. Things were moving around. I thought, this thing works. I'd plug it back up and nothing. So one night, it was late. I was probably coming home from a meeting or something, and I was tired, and I just wanted to get the dishes done. That's one of my jobs at the house. I try and take care of the dishes as often as I can, so that's one less thing that my wife has to worry about. So I'm rinsing these dishes, and I'm pre-washing. When I pre-wash dishes, they look clean, all right? I really get them pre-washed before they go in the dishwasher. So I'm pre-washing these things, and I'm spraying, and I'm wiping, I'm spraying, I'm wiping, I'm going through, and I'm almost done, and then it happens. Nothing. I've gone through the protocol before. I've done the pressure thing. I know that doesn't work. I've tried to sneak it around. I've tried to open it up and pull it apart and nothing. So did I mention I was tired? And it was late. So I take this little thing thinking maybe I can jiggle something loose in it. And I tap it on the inside of the sink, right? Gentle but firm taps. Still nothing. So I do what any intelligent college graduate would do, and I tap it harder. So I'm tapping it harder on the edge of the sink. Still nothing. I'm tired and it's late and this thing's frustrating me, and it's a brand new faucet. It should work. Work, faucet, work. And so I'm tapping it across the thing, and I feel myself starting to slip into caveman mode. Right? I think there are some people here that can relate. And I'm hitting this thing, and I'm jumping on the counter. I'm not jumping on the counter, but I feel like a monkey in there, and I'm hitting this thing, gets thinking, you know? And it's still not working. And so then it happens. I go past that point. And instead of the firm taps, I move to the full arm swing nozzle slam, right? Well, plastic pieces went flying. The dishes did not get finished. And I went to bed. You know, sometimes we do stupid things when we get angry. And sometimes those things we can look back on and we can laugh at them. But it's not always that it's plastic faucet pieces that go flying at midnight, is it? Now, sometimes it's people's feelings that get hurt and broken. People's hearts that get chipped away at because we lose it and respond to this powerful emotion called anger. And loved ones get caught in the wake of our anger. You know, there's some of you who are out there thinking, I don't need a message on anger. You saw it in the bulletin. You saw it out on the sign. I don't need a message on anger, much less a whole series of messages on anger. I'd like to caution you on that thinking and not jump so quickly to that conclusion. So I find it sadly ironic that a lot of the subjects that we talk about in here, we cover a great deal of subjects in here on a Sunday morning. A lot of the subjects we cover in here, those that could benefit the most from God's wisdom on these subjects are the very people that say, that's not for me. I don't need that. So I want to ask you to be cautious there. Slow down. Take a look and evaluate your life. Re-examine your life, because you might not think that you need this subject, but you might have family members. Family members that might be sitting right beside you this morning. And when they pulled in a parking lot this morning, or even back earlier in the week when they were driving by the sign and they saw it Thursday or they saw it Friday, and they saw, oh, the sermon's on anger this week. I hope so-and-so can make it. And they might be sitting side by side with you right now, thanking God that you are here this morning to hear a message. And they're hoping and praying that God will break your heart, and that something in these next 3 weeks from God's word will cause you to change your behavior and how you respond to this powerful emotion called anger. Today we're going to be looking at the roots of anger, and we're just going to kind of scratch the surface. We've got a lot to dig into for the next 3 weeks. And so today it's called roots. We're going to be talking about roots. Just a few weeks back, I had a few moments to be able to go out and do some yard work. You guys know that I don't do a whole lot of stuff out in the yard. They're laughing. They've been to my house, all right? My house, I've got, you know, some people have landscaping. I've got rainforest, okay? I've got a jungle. I'm expecting to see monkeys out there any day now, all right? And then they're like, I'm not exaggerating, am I? It's bad. And so I had a few moments, and I'm not really home a whole lot, so I try to do what I can while I'm there, and most of the time it's not outside. So I had to, this one particular day, I had to get out, and I had to mow the backyard. And you guys that were here, if you missed it, a few sermons ago, sermon on corruption, you can read or listen to it online. And in that sermon, you will know why it is so important for me to mow the backyard, all right? You'll want to listen to that sermon and listen for the story about the snake tree, all right? Some of you guys might remember that. So it's important that I make sure that I allocate enough time to go back there. But I had a few extra minutes, so I went out in the front and I thought, all right, what can I do out here? And it's so grown up that it's not even worth even trying this year, which has happened the past 3 years. And so we've got this, well, it's supposed to be a flagpole, but it never holds a flag. So it's just a pole, all right? And we've got this little bit of garden stuff around it that grows up. And so I thought, well, I can tend to that. I can take care of that in 5 minutes. So I go inside and I go looking for the spade, and I can't find the garden spade. And I ask my wife, where's the garden spade? And we're both looking for it. We don't know where it is because we never use it. And so I go out there with a full-size shovel to attack a couple little weeds. So I'm out there and I pull a couple of the weeds out, and they come out just fine, just without any problems. And then there's a couple weeds where I'm pulling and they're a little more secure. So I take the shovel and I kind of dig around and loosen it up, and they pull right out. I'm thinking, okay, this isn't so bad. And I get down to my last set of weeds. I don't know the difference between weeds and flowers and trees. And so I get to the, they're standing about 2.5 feet tall, which isn't that tall compared to most of the other stuff that's growing out there. And there's about 3 or 4 of them, little sprouts coming out of the same area. So I go down, I grab the base of them, I pull up on it, the ground moves. I think that's not supposed to happen, is it? So So I start loosening up the dirt around it with a shovel, and I pull again, and more of the ground moves. I think, well, that's a little pesky for a weed. So I take the shovel, and I start digging deeper and deeper and deeper, and I hit something, and I think, that's either a root or a power line. And so I'm thinking, it's probably a root, so I go on and start hacking away at it, and I finally get through it, and I pull up on this thing that I think's a weed again, and this time it pulls sideways a little bit. I think, that means there's more connecting it underneath the surface. So I go and I start hacking all around this with the shovel. And from this little 2 foot, this is what I pull up. Now, all these different places, I hacked it away. I have no idea how big this went. Look how thick that is. That was a tree. Unless that doesn't look like a weed root to me. And you know, that's the case sometimes in our life with things. Is we see things on the surface and it doesn't look that bad. It doesn't look like there's much there. Until we start digging and we start looking for the roots. And we start realizing, wow, there's a whole lot more to this subject than just what I see on the surface. We realize that the things underneath the surface are a little more strong, a little large, a little more powerful than we expected them to be. And that's the way it is with anger. As we start to get into this subject, we're going to learn there's a whole lot more to anger than we see on the surface. Because we see a lot of things on the surface. We respond to anger in many different ways. And we see these different ways represented in our Bible, believe it or not. People got angry. We've got stories of people getting angry. You go all the way back to the beginning in Genesis. You got the story of Cain and Abel, if you guys remember this story. Abel makes a sacrifice to God, an offering to God, and it's a great sacrifice, and God is pleased. And Cain's isn't quite so good. It's not as good as Abel's. And so Cain is envious. He's jealous. We're told that he gets angry, and he gets so angry that Cain kills his brother Abel. That's a pretty powerful response to anger. That's a very aggressive response. Is that how you respond to anger? Are you like that? Is that the way anger gets a hold of you and you're just like, pow, you just explode on somebody? Don't get in my way. Don't make me angry. I will explode on you. Is that how anger shows itself on the surface of your life? Or maybe later in Genesis, we find two other brothers. We have Jacob and Esau, and they had a rough time of getting along as well. And Jacob, the youngest, he deceives his father into getting the blessing of the firstborn. Now, without getting into too much detail here, let's all act like we understand that that's a big deal, okay? That was a big deal back then. So we go, the blessing of the firstborn, we all go, ooh. Okay, because that's a big deal. And that was a big deal. And so Esau's mad about this, and we're told in Scripture that he holds a grudge. And he's mad, and he's angry, and he's got this anger, and he holds on to it. And he keeps doing things to remind him of why he's angry. And he does things, tends to those coals, make sure that they stay hot. Is that how you deal with anger? Is that what the surface of your life looks like today? Are you holding on to anger years and years and years and years, and you're still making sure that those coals stay hot with anger? Or maybe Moses. Moses got mad on a number of occasions with different people. In one case, Moses gets mad at Pharaoh. He gets angry at Pharaoh. Remember that the change that they had between Pharaoh and Moses, where Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, hey, let God's people go. And Pharaoh says, no. And then there's a big old plague that comes. And then Pharaoh says, okay, yes. And then the plague goes away. And he goes, psych. Remember that? That takes you back some years, doesn't it? And Moses was getting frustrated with this, and he was getting fed up with this, and he went through this 9 times, and we're told right before the 10th plague that Moses was angry at Pharaoh. Now, Moses handled things well. He let God settle the score. The next plague was the 10th plague, and it was the plague of all plagues of those 10 plagues. It was a plague of the firstborn, and God settled the score. What about David? King David. David got angry with himself. How many of you guys have been angry with yourself? All right. I've been there. Except David didn't know that he was angry with himself at first. All right. This takes place after the famous story of David and Bathsheba, where David sleeps with Bathsheba. He gets Bathsheba pregnant, and then he sends Bathsheba's husband out to war to die and to cover up the whole thing. And then no one knows, the public doesn't know about all this stuff that's happened. They don't know about him having an affair with her. They don't know about her getting pregnant. They don't know about him putting Uriah, her husband, out on the front lines to die. All they see is King David, noble King David, takes in this poor pregnant widow to be his wife. And everything's fine. He's sitting on the throne until Nathan comes in. Nathan is a prophet from God. And Nathan shares a story with David. And he says, all right, David, there was this guy, and he was a poor guy, and he only had one sheep. And then next door lived this rich guy, and he had flocks of sheep. And one day a visitor came to have dinner with the rich guy, and the rich guy, instead of taking one of his sheep, he went over to the poor guy, took his sheep, killed it, and ate it that night. And as David's hearing this story, he's just getting flushed, you know, just turning red. And he's angry, he's burning with anger because this is an injustice. This is wrong. And David says, this man should be punished severely. And Nathan says, you the man. You're the guy in the story. You're the guy I'm talking about. And David got angry with himself. And I go there. This is actually one of the areas that I really struggle the most with anger, is I get really angry with myself. And there are times when if I could split myself into two people, I would just unload a 55-gallon drum of anger on myself. I would. I'd just unload, because sometimes I get that frustrated with myself. Is that what your anger looks like on the surface? Is that what you come in here today looking at and you know, yeah, that's how I express my anger. That's what I'm familiar with. Or maybe King Ahab. King Ahab was married to the infamous Jezebel. If you remember King Ahab and Jezebel from the story of Elijah. Well, this is a different story from that. It's in 1 Kings 21. And King Ahab, he sees this vineyard. And he wants this vineyard. And he's greeding after this vineyard. Is that a word? Greeting. All right, we're going to make it a word today, okay? So he's greeting after this vineyard. He wants this vineyard to be his own. And so he goes to the owner of the vineyard and he says, hey, I'm the king and you can have any of my vineyards as a trade for this vineyard. I will pay you any amount of cash for that vineyard. I want that vineyard. And the owner of the vineyard, Naboth, he says, it's not for sale. Oh, man. Oh, that's not what King Ahab wanted to hear. He wanted that vineyard. He wanted it to be his own. He wanted to put a sign on it and say, Ahab's vineyard. It's mine. He was greeting after this vineyard. So what does the scriptures tell us happened to Ahab? He got angry. He got so angry. And this guy Ahab, he was a man's man. And he got so angry that he went into his bedroom and he crawled on his bed and he sulked and cried. Seriously, you got to read that in the scripture. It's exactly what happened. And he wouldn't eat. I'm not eating. Because I can't have my vineyard. Oh, please, can someone call the ambulance? And that's how some people deal with anger, isn't it? Is that how you deal with anger? Is that how you have seen anger creep up in your life? Is that how you've seen anger appear on the surface? Or maybe you deal with anger like Naaman. Naaman was a commander of the army of the king Aram, a different king. And he was a valiant warrior. He was highly decorated and he was a household name. He was a celebrity because he was so mighty. But Naaman had a problem. He had a big problem. Naaman had a disease called leprosy. Now, leprosy was an awful disease. It would rot away parts of your body and they would just fall off. Nasty. I mean, this guy Naaman, he seemed like he had everything together, but he was falling to pieces. Literally. Poor guy just couldn't hold himself together. Why the long face, Naaman? Because it's falling off. That'll do it, won't it? And even as mighty in battle as Naaman was, sooner or later, as this disease would take its course, he would be disarmed. Permanently. But before these stages of this disease got to Naaman, He got a suggestion from someone that you need to go visit the mighty prophet Elisha. Now, Elisha won the apprentice of their time, the apprentice BC, where he took the place of Elijah. Okay, so we got Elisha, mighty prophet. And so Naaman is told, you need to go down and visit this guy because he's got the power to heal you. So he goes down, and Naaman's a well-known guy. He's a special guy. He's celebrity. Everywhere he goes, he gets special treatment. He gets red carpet service, VIP, people following around Naaman asking for autographs. So he shows up at this prophet's hut down in Israel. And Elisha doesn't even come out to see him. Doesn't even come to the door. He sends out his servant to go and talk to Naaman. Isn't that awful? This guy expects special service. Prophet, come out and heal me. So that everyone can look at Naaman and watch Naaman get healed, and he would be in the spotlight. But instead, Elisha sends this message through his servant that you need to go and you need to dip in the dirty Jordan 7 times to be healed. Naaman was embarrassed. He was disappointed. He was humiliated because he was full of pride. And it says that he went on his way in a rage because of this. He was enraged. Is this how we process anger? Our pride gets a little dent in it. And we get angry and we get enraged because things didn't happen the way they ought to. Because I'm a special person. I've got special ways that I need to be treated. Is this how anger surfaces in your life? You know, as we look at these stories and we start to scratch the surface of this subject, I want to take a moment and just process a little bit on how we process our anger. How we process our anger. You know, a lot of times we don't like to take responsibility for our anger, do we? We just blow up. And whoever gets hurt, they get hurt. Why? Because I'm angry. That's not right. That is absolutely not right. We have to take responsibility for our anger. And the first step to taking responsibility for our anger is to look at why we are angry. What was the cause of my anger? Because see, anger is a secondary emotion. Psychologists, and I've seen people listed as being a primary emotion, and I believe they do that because of popularity. It's definitely not because of chronology. If you follow chronology, anger is never the first emotion. You just jumped anger and you skip the initial emotions. Those other emotions, those that are first, they lead us to anger. Sometimes it can be one emotion, 2 emotions, 3 emotions, 4 emotions before we get to anger. And so what we need to do is we need to feel and understand those first emotions before we act on our anger. We need to go back and visit those and say, why am I angry? Well, it's because I'm hurt. Okay, now that's something I can do something about. I can talk to somebody about being hurt. It's because I'm disappointed. Maybe it's because my pride got dented. Maybe I don't have a valid reason for being angry. And you'll find those out if you look at the emotions that come before anger. Sometimes we just bypass those initial emotions. And that gets dangerous when we do that. And that's when we do stupid things. You know, in all the Bible stories we talked about today, each of those people, they had emotions that came prior to anger. Cain was envious. He was jealous. Esau was betrayed. Moses was frustrated. David saw an injustice. King Ahab wanted things his way. He wanted that vineyard. He was selfish, and that caused disappointment. Naaman's pride caused him disappointment. And each of these ended with anger. They got to anger at one point or another. But they had all these emotions before. So we can't just swing over to anger. We got to go back and visit those emotions, because when we do, that gets dangerous and people get hurt. Just recently, I swung over to anger and I skipped a handful of emotions and I hurt my wife. I hurt my wife when I did that. I was in one room and in the next room, and I heard our 7-month-old start to cry. And it wasn't the cry that said, oh, I'm hungry, or I've got a dirty diaper. It was the kind of cry that just abruptly starts, and it starts on level 11. And it's the kind of cry that says, something is very wrong with me. So I went running in the other room, and I saw my wife laying on the floor, and I saw my seven-month-old laying just past her arms. Went straight to anger. I don't know what I said that day. I really don't remember. But somehow I effectively communicated to my wife that she didn't know how to walk and carry one of our babies. Somehow I communicated to my wife that she wasn't a good mother. I communicated to my wife that she didn't care about our children. I didn't say all those things. I'm not that bad. But my tone of voice and whatever things I did say, and what were you thinking? It communicated all those things. I didn't want to say all those things. I don't believe those things. I've watched my wife carry the boys. I've seen her carry them both. I'm pretty impressed with that. She's good with carrying our boys. My wife loves our children, and she cares for them beyond what any words can describe. I've never even thought twice about those things. But because I jumped straight to anger, that's what I communicated to her. Looking back, I had to reexamine what happened before that anger. And as I reexamined that, I looked back at that and I said, you know what? My first emotion was I was scared. I was scared that my infant was hurt. Or my wife was hurt. But I skipped right over that. And that's a good emotion. That's a real emotion. That's an emotion that says, I care. Skipped right over it. I was frustrated. I was frustrated myself because this particular gate, the latch isn't so good on it. And so I've been meaning to replace it, to get a new gate or something. Because it's easier just to step over this gate than to unlatch it. And that's how she had tripped. Well, not quite the whole story. See, after Isaiah goes to bed, because that gate is difficult to latch and unlatch, I'll leave it unlatched and just barely open. Because then I don't have to latch it and unlatch it. It's just free moving. And Jesse didn't know that. So when she caught her foot on it, instead of it staying stable and her being able to just move her foot over it, it swung with her. So it was kind of my fault. I felt about this big. But you know what? It gets dangerous when we just swing right over, doesn't it? If we take time to pause and slow down and go back and feel these emotions, search them out. All right? If you're a guy, you're not too manly to go back and find these things. All right? Go back and feel those emotions. If you're hurt, feel the hurt and understand the hurt before you move to anger. I'm not saying don't move to anger. Sometimes you need to move to anger. But go back and feel those initial emotions first and understand them before you move on, before you respond to your anger, because that's what happens after that, isn't it? After we get angry, we have a response. And that's the second thing that I'm wanting to share with you this morning, is that our response to anger is a decision. Oftentimes, when we're trying to avoid responsibility for our actions, we'll say, well, you made me angry, right? We're adults, and we say that, don't we? To this day, we'll say that. We'll come home, then we'll suffer from road rage, right? We're all hot. That person made me angry. Pulled out in front of me. They didn't make you angry. They pulled out in front of you. You had an emotional response to that. Sometimes someone does something to you. That's what they do. You have an emotional response. They do something and you're jealous of what they did. They do something and you're hurt because of what they did. You're betrayed or your pride is dented a little. And those are your emotions. And at that point, you need to start taking responsibility for your emotions. They didn't make you angry. Your feelings are your own. They did an action and you felt a certain way. Your feelings might be valid. Nonetheless, they are your feelings. And you are responsible. And then after you became angry, you decided, ever how short that decision process was, you decided how you were going to respond to your feeling of anger. We must become conscious of how we respond to our anger. It's not easy, because the decision to act on our anger is an emotional decision. It is, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having an emotional decision. In our Bible, I know it's at least 300 times in the Old Testament, it says that God got angry. Let me give you a newsflash. Our God is an emotional God. You ever notice that? If you've had a relationship with him for more than 5 minutes, you'll realize God is passionate. God is filled with emotions. And God makes emotional decisions. Emotional decisions aren't bad, but you have to understand this is an emotional decision. And you have to put it in that box, in that category, and understand, I need to be careful because it is an emotional decision. Because we have responsibility over that decision, emotional or not. We have responsibility over that. Whatever you do, however you respond, however you react to anger, you are responsible for that emotional decision. Anger then should have an action attached to it. I want to share that. We're going to get to that in 2 weeks. That'll be our last message in this series. But I don't want you to go away from this thinking, man, I got to bottle all this up. That is bad. Don't bottle anger up. We're not teaching that in this series. Anger should have an action attached to it. If you go back through, you explore your emotions. All right, I've got a valid reason to be angry. Okay, now, yes, I'm angry, and I got good reasons to be angry. I've been hurt. I need to talk to this person. That needs to be followed with an action. You need to follow that up. And we're going to talk about that in a few weeks. But I wanted to get that in so that you guys didn't think that we were just stopping there. Now, we've just scratched the surface on this subject. Looking at the roots, looking at some of the basic things. And so I'm going to send you away today with some homework. Think you guys can do some homework? Yes. I'm going to make you do homework. I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to make you do it just like I make you mad. We're going to do some homework and the homework's going to be real simple, okay? And what we're going to do is we need to do this homework as a body, as a group of people that want to be better for Jesus. Because anger is a good thing. Anger, I believe, is a holy thing. I believe anger is a part of our image that we bear of God's. Because God got angry. Jesus got angry. We'll deal with that in a couple weeks. I think anger is a good thing, but we need to understand it and we need to work with it and we need to get control over it in our lives so that it can be a good thing. So I'm going to send you guys away with some homework. What I want you to do is I want you to do two things. Both of them are going to be past and present. What I want you to do is go back in your history and remember, and I want you to look at it this week when you get angry, because I guarantee you, you'll find the time to get angry this week. Something will upset you this week, all right? And I want you to do two things. I want you to go through this process of looking backwards and looking forwards from that point of anger. Take a step back and think of things in the past where you've gotten angry with a loved one. And think, what emotions caused me to get angry? What led me there? Sometimes this will bring some things up that you need to talk about. Because it was never resolved because you just flew off the handle. And it never got resolved. It never got fixed. So this might cause you to need to go back and talk with somebody and say, hey, you know, when I got angry a few weeks ago, we never talked about that. And yeah, I said some things I shouldn't have. I acted the way I shouldn't have, but I really need to get back to the root of that. You really hurt me with what you did. And that's why I reacted with anger. So I want you to do that. I want you to do that for what's coming up this week when you get angry, to just pause and think, what other emotions am I feeling? What emotions came first? And face them and feel them. Get in there and feel them and understand them. And then the second thing I want you to do for homework is I want you to look at the past, how you responded to your anger. What did I do when I got angry? Was it the appropriate thing to do? Was it inappropriate? And for this next week, I want you to ask that question. When you get angry, when you have that and you get that emotion hits you and you go, whoa, and you say, take a step back, let's pause. What emotions did I feel first? Okay, I've got those. I feel them. I understand them. Okay, now I can be angry. And now I need to do something about it. And I want you to think, I want to do something noble with my anger. You know, talking about anger, God gets angry, right? We talked about that. We shared just a little bit about that. And when you go down just to the core of God's anger, what angers God? Sin. Sin angers God. And God goes back and he can revisit those emotions. Maybe you hurt God. And he felt that hurt and he understood that hurt and then he got angry about that hurt. Because there's a thing called God's wrath. And that's what happens when we sin. We are deserving of God's anger, of God's wrath. Sometimes we disappoint God and he's disappointed in us and he feels that emotion, he understands that emotion, and he moves to anger and wrath. And as we look at God's anger and we look at what we're talking about today, that once we feel that and we understand where our anger comes from, we understand that we are angry and we have a good reason to be angry, and we have to have a response to that anger. That anger should be attached to an action. Do you know what God's action was that was attached to his anger? He took his anger out on his one and only son, Jesus Christ. Because we couldn't handle it. We can't handle the wrath of God. We are so deserving of it. We disappoint him, we hurt him, we let him down. And God felt that, and he felt that hurt, a disappointment. And he took it out on his son, Jesus. And he did that so that we could escape his anger. So we could escape his wrath. And that opened the door for us to have what's called salvation through Jesus Christ. This morning, if you're on the bad side of God's anger and you're not saved and you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you are deserving of God's wrath. It's not a good place to be. But you don't have to be there. The door has been opened up through Jesus Christ that you might be able to receive Jesus Christ into your life, that you might be washed clean by his blood, and you might be able to be accepted by God through his grace, that you'd be baptized into Christ and have all that washed away and be assured that you are free from God's wrath.